Well, happy Mother's Day, Crosspoint. It is so good to be together, and we are talking in this series about what it means to be made new. And in Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. And so we get a new story, and we get a new identity. And today, we want to talk about how God gives us a new perspective. So what is perspective? Perspective is the way we see. It's the way we see things, the way we see people, the way we see our circumstances, the way we see challenges in life, the way we see issues in this world. Perspective is how we see. And have you ever noticed how two people can be going through very similar circumstances, but they can have very different responses? And they can have very different reactions. They can have very different dispositions, which has to do with perspective and how they see what they're going through. Have you ever lost perspective? You know that feeling when you lose a credit card? Unless you follow Dave Ramsey, then you lost your credit card for good. But for others, let's say, who may not follow the Ramsey play, like, you lose that credit card and you have that moment like, uh-oh, where's it at? And then you try to trace back and go. Losing perspective is often not like that. You don't necessarily realize it in a moment, but then over time you realize, I'm overwhelmed. Like, man, I'm really struggling here, not able to see things rightly. Maybe those moments where you're like, I don't feel like myself. Oftentimes in those moments, we've lost perspective. And that can happen through being stressed or pressure or worries in life. But then we can also lose perspective when we get everything we want. That's why Dan Allender said, as a parent, the child, it's your job, it's our job, to remind them of to answer two fundamental questions that every child has. The first one is, am I loved? And the second is, can I get everything I want when I want it? He said, so we have to remind them and remove any doubt from their mind that you are loved unconditionally. And number two, no, you cannot have everything you want when you want it. And so as parents, we offer perspective. And so it's only fitting that we would talk about perspective on Mother's Day, because moms are the primary shapers of perspective in our lives. I mean, right when we come out of the hopper, they're the ones who let us know. They let us know. They help us see perspective in the world and how we should see the world. They inform perspective. And here's the thing, we all have different moms, or we've all had different moms, but I'm convinced that moms all go to the same school, because they tell us all the same thing. Like, there are certain momisms that are universal. And so, just so you can kind of know what I'm talking about, I want to see, can you fill in the blank? So I'm going to read through, and then I'm going to leave a blank, and I want you to just kind of answer, like, just response to what's going on. So there's this kind of the double click portion of the talk. So the first one is I'm going to give you to the count of
three.
You all knew that. It's not four, it's not five. None of us had a family where it's six. Some of us have families where it's two, two and a half, two and three. That's how I learned fractions. I learned fractions as a kid from my mama. Two is because I said so, that's why. Simon Sinek, leadership guru, wrote a book called Start With My. My mom was preaching that gospel long before Simon Sinek ever was. That is why, because she said so. That's why. Just wait until you have kids of your own. We all knew that. Our parents put that curse on us. Our mom put that curse on us. Like, don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. You know, that one day your kids are going to do what you do. What part of no don't you
understand?
I've had it up to
here.
See? Same mom school. I don't know what it is, but I know where here is. Right up here. And then moms offer perspective. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. And they say, there's no use crying over spilt milk. And unless your mom's from East Nashville, then they say oat milk. But don't miss the forest for the trees. These are all perspectives. This too shall. That's a perspective shaper. And last is, I love
you.
There's nothing like hearing those words from a mom. And it's a mother's, there's nothing like a mother's love to shape perspective in life. And so I realize that we all come into the day with a little different perspective. Some of us, maybe you're gathering with your mom, or kids with their mom, and gathering together, and there's going to be a day of celebrating and being together. Or maybe today, your perspective is that you're separated from your mom by many miles, and there's going to be a FaceTime or text or sending of flowers or a conversation. Or perhaps maybe for your situation, your mother's passed, and so there's great loss and great grief around the day. Maybe a relationship is estranged and not quite like you dreamed or hoped that it would be. And so there are all kind of feelings about that. And so I think it's important that we bring honesty about how we're feeling into this day, and we bring our hearts to God and we meet him in the truth of who he is, to ask him to give us his perspective, and that he would speak to our hearts, and that he would bring healing where there needs to be healing, and he would bring hope where there needs to be hope. So can we pray together before we enter into the teaching? Can we just pray together? Father, I thank you for every heart that you've gathered. I thank you for every mom that's present. I pray for your love, for your acceptance, for your value to be felt. And God, I pray that you bring healing and hope today, that you bring healing to wounds and hurts in our past. And then I pray that you bring hope, because we believe that you are a God of grace, a God of love, and a God who is active in our lives. And so we pray that, God, you bring hope today to every heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the movement of Jesus is a movement of hope. I mean, that's the reality of the empty tomb. And that's where we began our conversation, is that the fact that Christ is risen from the dead, it shapes perspective. It shapes how we see everything. It shapes when we worship. Now, when you go to another country, one of the first, in another time zone, one of the first things you do is you set your watch, unless you have an iPhone or iOS, like it doesn't automatically. But one of the first things you do is you set your watch to a new time zone. You adjust to the new time zone. Have you ever wondered why we worship on Sundays? Because for those early believers, they grew up in Judaism, and for over 1,000 years, for God's people had worshiped on Shabbat, which is Saturday. They worshiped on Saturday from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. That was their day of worship. And then everything changed, and they began to worship. Those early believers began to worship on Sunday. What they did was they set their watch to the resurrection. Jesus was risen from the dead on Sunday. And so you look back and you see that there was an entire group of people, community of people who had seen the resurrected Christ, and they changed when they worshiped. They set the watch of their week to Sunday because something happened on Sunday. Jesus got up out of the grave. Jesus was alive. And so they changed. If you've ever been steeped in tradition or grown up in tradition, or even like in Judaism, or even some of us in our own lives in a tradition, you know it can be hard to change traditions. But we go back and we look at the church, at the early church. They moved from Saturday to Sunday. Why? Because Jesus conquered death. Father raised a son from the dead. And we look at life from the perspective of an empty tomb. Here's what that means. That if God can raise Christ from the dead, there is nothing that is impossible for him. When we say anything's possible as a church, it's because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And that our God is active, and he is near, and he is loving, and he is kind, and he is working in our lives. And so it shapes perspective. It shapes the perspective of when we worship together. And some of us, maybe we've forgotten about that, maybe didn't know about that. Maybe we just kind of, we were like an iPhone. We adjusted like automatically. And I think it's helpful to go back and go, why do we worship on Sundays? Well, because we serve a risen Lord, and who is sovereign, and who reigns over all, and who is more powerful than death. And we receive hope. That's perspective. If you want to change perspective, if you want to shift perspective, another thing, you change where you stand. Have you ever noticed that like sometimes, like just when you get out on a walk, like it just changes perspective? Sometimes like when you go for a walk at Radnor Park with everybody else from Nashville, like it changes perspective. Maybe at Percy Warner, you go for a walk on trails, or climb one of those hills. Or have you ever been like climbed up a mountain and just looked out? There's something about being out in nature. There's something about being elevated in a way where you take the high ground and you see with different perspectives. Sometimes we just have to change where we stand. Sometimes like going on a mission trip will change perspective. When our kids were 8, we took them on a mission trip when they turned 8. And something about going to the developing world just changed their perspective in the way that they see. Changes perspective when you serve in the church, and when you serve in the inner city, when there's opportunities to serve, it changes perspective. When you travel, it changes perspective. When I was over in Rome, we went to some of these cathedrals, some of these massive cathedrals. And when you just changed where you stand in those cathedrals, they were built in such a way where it required you to look up. It was all about perspective. And you look up and you see the stained glass windows. You look up and you see the icons. You look up and you see these paintings. Going in those cathedrals, it forced you to look up. Now, we don't really have the cathedral vibe going on at Cross Point. We have more of the warehouse vibe. But our cathedral is in our songs. When we sing songs together, we sing songs that require us to look up. Like when we sing Waymaker. I mean, I loved it last week. We sang Waymaker, and it just forces you to look up at the greatness and the glory of God, the bigger story that we're a part of. One thing I love about singing Waymaker is I love when Caleb sings Waymaker. And Caleb is sitting right over here, and Caleb and Casey are here, and they're part of the Tardy family. They're with Mom Betsy, and Caleb, I love when you sing Waymaker. I mean, you sing it out. You got one way to sing it, and it's everything you got. And God has blessed you with an extra chromosome. And he has blessed you with praise that elevates the room. And you keep praising. You keep giving God everything you've got. And Casey, I love it when you sing. Like, you help us worship. When you worship and when you sing out loud, like, it requires, I look at it as a competition. I'm like, I'm gonna sing louder than Caleb today. And it changes the room. It forces, it requires us to look up. And Betsy, you're an amazing mom. See God's grace on you. 12 children. 3 adopted children. See the way that he's held you. And Waymaker is not just a song that you sing with your kids. It's one that you live out. And God makes a way for you. And through your worship and through your life and through the way you hold to him, it helps make a way for us to look up and see him. So can we just honor Betsy on Mother's Day? And through praise, through all of us bringing our praise, it helps give some. When we hear other people's stories, when we hear stories like in the Dollar Club, when we have conversation, it helps give perspective. When we worship on Sunday, where we worship, how we worship, helps give perspective. So I want to do something fun today. It's the first time that we've done this like this. I want to invite you into a conversation and from the person who helps me the most with perspective in life through the voice that helps change the way that I see things and helps me see things right and helps bring me back to truth. And she's an amazing mom. And the way that she lives with such grace and such wisdom and compassion, and the way that she mothers our kids. So I want to invite, would you help me invite Ree up to the platform? And, are you ready?
Ready.
I know what you wanted on Mother's Day was to have to wake up early and get up early and come in and help me do my job. That was what you're like, Kevin, that's your job. But thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I thought, as we have a conversation about perspective, I thought what might be fun is to go through some of the videos and pictures that I found on my phone, some motherhood moments, and just kind of just share with everybody just some of these moments. So I want you to kind of give your perspective, maybe some commentary on what we're seeing on the screen.
Okay.
First one, ready, go.
Yes.
So you're weed eating and you've got no shoes on, and the earrings are on point. So
they match the weed eater.
What's your perspective on this?
I'm wondering why you're not teaching our kids to weed eat.
next video. Let's go. Next one. All right, this is maybe I should be me teaching our kids how to hit, but this is you pitching. I just love this wind up. Just this wind, little commentary, little.
Oh, I love baseball, and I just want to channel my inner pitcher.
You almost.
But the best pitcher I know is Bolton, and he should have been doing this. See, he's like, Mom, let me take over here. You've got enough. Step aside.
That was great. Next, let's do the next. So this one, I thought this was great. You didn't know I was videoing this, but you're teaching Camden math. But what's that in your hand?
It's a knife. I think I was just getting so caught up with my passion for math, I had to just stop what I was doing in the kitchen. And Camden looked up at me. You can't hear her, but she looked up at me when she realizes it, and she says, "Why would you do that?"
That's one way to get him to pay attention. And Let's do it. Next. Let's do a picture. So, okay. what's your perspective on this picture?
This is our house in Georgia. The last time we were there before we moved here to Nashville, almost five years ago. So, there's just the perspective of gratitude and excitement for what was ahead. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, it's all good memories.
God's done a lot.
In
5 years. Let's do this. Is a recent picture. No, that was 20.
This is 2020. Yeah.
That is during the lockdown. Enjoyed the lockdown.
I did. Wow. So my perspective on that is just fun. That was fun time.
Yeah. Going on a walk. We went.
Yeah, going on walks. twice a day. I think two times.
Why'd
two
you
family
love the
walks.
Lockdown?
Two family walks.
Yeah. Why'd you like that?
Just time together and less.
A lot of time together.
A lot of time.
I didn't love the lockdown that much. I would go to the grocery store for anything. I'm like, we need more toilet paper. Let's go see if they have more toilet paper.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. This is a super recent one.
Oh, yeah.
Last weekend.
Raleigh's grad party. Perspective is excitement. She's ready to go off to UT in Knoxville. She's ready.
Are you ready?
Am I ready? I don't think about it. I don't try not to think about it too much yet. I'm just here. I'm just enjoying the present. Just like what we got going on right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay.
It was a great graduation party and that was all the fun stuff. Yeah. Let's talk about perspective. What does perspective mean for you?
Well, you sort of talked about it, you know, earlier. Perspective to me is just how we see things, how we look at a situation or a circumstance, and you know, there's a heavenly perspective and an earthly perspective, and God wants us to have that heavenly perspective, and we can ask Him for it, and we say, like, show me how to see this, show me the way you see this, let me see things how you see them, and He gives us that heavenly perspective, and sometimes it's through just a pause in the middle of a circumstance, or sometimes we worship, as you mentioned, that, you know, Caleb and Casey, and sometimes it's through prayer. And I mean, those are just a few ways to gain that heavenly perspective. But that's what perspective means.
I think that's an important distinction, is that there's the heavenly perspective and the worldly perspective. And in Romans chapter 12, it talks about, it says, don't be conformed anymore to the pattern of this world. There's a certain pattern of thinking in this world. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that our minds will be renewed, that we would see things from God's perspective. And so, you know, scripture talks about in Colossians, it says, set your minds on things above. So there's this higher perspective of way of seeing things. I'm thinking about in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we talked about last week. It says, I don't regard people in a worldly point of view. So there's a worldly way of looking at people, and then there's a heavenly way. So I love that distinction between the two. When you think about losing perspective, and that I've heard that discouragement is a temporary loss of perspective. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel discouraged, you know, as a mom? And how do you make sure that that loss of perspective is temporary?
Yeah.
And that you don't, like, that you don't stay there?
Yeah. I think the discouragement is not just a mom thing, right? I mean, we all face things that make us feel discouraged in big ways and small ways. One of the ways that I sometimes feel discouraged as a mom is sometimes I say to myself, oh my gosh, I'm not doing enough. And to change that perspective, I have to first of all realize that is a temporary loss of perspective. That discouragement's not going to keep me from having that good perspective. But it's a proximity thing for me, which is what you were talking about earlier, I think, with the going to Radnor, hiking up the mountain. But it's proximity. It's stepping back sometimes and zooming out and seeing the situation as a whole. Or sometimes it's leaning in and zooming in and seeing the situation a little bit more up close. And that helps me when I feel discouraged. If I change that proximity, that gives me a better perspective.
Do you have people in your life that help you zoom out and see it, like conversation, or they're...
Oh, yeah, for sure. We all do, right? I mean, there's always a friend that you can have, you know, you just call them up and say, let's go to coffee. I got to talk about something with you. And they help you zoom out or zoom in, really. Yeah. I mean, it's whatever the circumstance requires. Yeah.
Let's talk about like some key, you know, people are going, well, I want to move from discouragement to encouraged and having perspective. What are some practices that we can have in play in our lives, or some rhythms? that we can have that that help us keep that?
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about a lot of them. I would say worship is huge. And I mean, like even in your house, like finding that worship song that just speaks to your heart in that moment for that situation, turning that on and letting the words that are, you know, Holy Spirit inspired sink in. Prayer that's consistent and constant. And then reading scripture and using that to pray. And then sometimes one of the practices that's sort of new to me is a intentional breathing, like not just like like that kind of breathing, like well, so am I, but you know, like a breathing, like a pausing to breathe, like I'm going to breathe in this truth and I'm going to breathe out this other truth. So it's just changing your mindset a little bit.
So what would be an example of something you could breathe in?
Like you could take a scripture, like you breathe in, the Lord is my shepherd, and you breathe that in, and then you breathe out, and I lack nothing. So the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And it really does. I mean, just right now, I'm like, woo!
So can we all do that together? Right? We breathe in. Lord is my shepherd. Breathe out. I lack nothing. Come on.
Yeah.
Ready to go. That's so good. So let's talk about like even with scripture. I know that's important for you, the kind of the practice of daily going through the Bible in a year. I know that. Can you tell about that?
Yeah.
How that works?
It's something that I've stumbled across really a couple of years, 4 years, no, it doesn't matter how long ago. Anyway, a few years ago, 4 years maybe. And it's called Daily Audio Bible, and it's an app, and it's a podcast, and it's Brian Harden who reads it fresh every day, every year. And I think he's been reading it fresh for 14 years. So he doesn't just record it 14 years ago and play it again. He reads it fresh with us every day. And it's amazing. If you've never read through the Bible, it's an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, a psalm, and a proverb. And, you know, sometimes life just gets busy, but you can turn it on when you're driving into the office or when you're out on your run or when you're cleaning the toilets. I've been known to have Daily Audio Bible on when I'm doing that. And sometimes you will sit, you know, you can sit with your Bible open and listen to him read, but there's just something about just having scripture read over you that is a little bit different than when you're reading it yourself. So
20 minutes.
It's about 20 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
I said, great practice. We'll link to that in the show notes below. I have no idea how to do that. So. When you talk about like helping kids keep perspective, especially with four kids and all teenagers, and they all have social media and phones, like how do you help them keep perspective in life?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that this question about helping kids keep perspective could also say helping a loved one, somebody in your life, you know, that's you're wanting to help work through something, helping them keep perspective. I think it goes for not just, you know, a parent to a kid, but a friend to a friend. And that would be just to know that everyone is different. And so when I'm thinking about my kids are all very different. Their perspectives are all different. The way they see situations are all different. The way they react in situations are all different. So that would be the first thing. And to be able to approach them in the way that helps them best. And I found that, you know, praying for them first gives you a little bit more insight into what's going to be the best approach into helping them, you know, keep perspective. And it might be that you sit with them and let them just pour out their heart to help them keep perspective. Or it might be you come with a checklist like this is what you need to do. But you just gotta know that everybody's different, and you're just gonna, you know, ask the Lord to help you kind of see what's the best way to help them keep perspective.
So how does prayer, when you think about prayer and keeping perspective for you, like what does that look like?
Well, I love prayer. I think, you know, I mean, prayer is, it changes things. It does. It changes things. And, you know, it's one thing to pray on your own, which is beautiful and is necessary, but it's another thing to gather with like-minded people, maybe in the same season as you, or maybe a little bit ahead of you or a little bit behind you. And then those just running alongside of you. Because when you can pray with people who, like I said, are in different seasons, that perspective that they bring through their prayers is amazing. And one of the best things that that I get to be a part of is a ministry called Moms in Prayer. And we meet every Tuesday. Moms, women, sorry, guys, at this one, sorry, you can't come. But there probably is a dads in prayer somewhere. But we meet every Tuesday, and we just pray for our kids, and we get to hear each other's prayers for our own kids, each other's kids. It really is a perspective shift, yeah.
So if somebody was interested, let's say somebody's a mom is interested in Moms in Prayer, like where should they go?
Momsinprayer.org, and you can just find it all.
And it can be intimidating, though, to be and pray with other people.
It's awesome. Okay. Yeah, it's so great. It is. Yeah, and you help each other, you know? I mean, that's the beauty of it. You help each other.
You guys pray scripture.
Right? Yep.
So it's something that somebody could jump in, whether they've been praying for a long time or brand new.
Yeah.
And help them know how to pray. Yep. It's good. I was at the Franklin campus the other day, and there was a dry erase board in the GE room and the GE team. And on the dry erase board, it said, "See, I'm doing a new thing." And there was something about seeing that, especially in the season that we're in, where we got a high school senior about to graduate, and I find myself holding on to the old things and still wanting to, you know, lock the door and keep it. And like, I love the old things. I love having all the kids there. And it was like, I saw that and it changed my perspective. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, God's doing a new thing in my kids, doing a new thing in our family. And so there's something about that scripture, which reminded me of how Ree has scripture and she has note cards. Like, she'll take 3x5 cards and write scripture on them. Can you talk a little bit about the practice of like writing scripture, writing these words and kind of having them over the house? What difference does that make?
Yeah, it makes all the difference, really, because scripture is true. Scripture is true. It is what is true. It is the basis for everything that's true. And so when there's scripture, for instance, like you're talking about within eyesight, even on that whiteboard when you walked into the Franklin campus, that is scripture. Right. And to have it in your eyesight is what you see. Then it goes to your head, right? It goes to your mind. Maybe you're saying it in your mind. You're thinking about that scripture. Then it goes to your heart. And then it just changes the way you see things. And it did for you. That was a perfect example. You saw that scripture and it changed the way you saw the particular situation that you were thinking about. Susie, I want to read this quote from Susie Larson. She's a radio show host, written a lot of books. She puts out like a blessing every single day and every single night, daily blessings. Anyway, Susie Larson, I want to read it because it's a really, really, really good, and I don't want to get it wrong. She says, "Don't look at all of your problems all at once. Instead, look at one of his promises all of the time until you've made it your own." And that's what scripture in your home does. You get that in your eyesight, you're focused on that, and then you make it your promise. You make it his promise yours, and then you can change out that note card and put another note card in and make a new promise yours.
That one, I'll hold on to. Yep. So let's talk about perspective under pressure, because we all have pressure in life. So it's not just a mom thing, it's a human thing that we all have pressure. And so part of the question is, like, to have perspective on vacation is one thing. Well, what do you do when you come back from vacation and like it's real life? And I was thinking about 2021 for us, and that we had an interesting year, and that we found ourselves like constantly hosting people in our home like for a long period of time. So Ree's sister and her husband, and they had a newborn. They lived with us for
8 months.
8 months, and so there's a certain pressure that comes from having a newborn. You know, having it was great.
And it was wonderful.
And then they were gone. They moved out and. And then we had a family of eight that lived with us. They were gone for a day. So I had one day where I wasn't able to not wear a shirt in our house. And that was awesome. That one day that I walked out, and Ree was always asking me, she's like, "Can you take off your shirt more?" And I was like, "I can't, we have guests." And you did not. But like one day that I was able to be in the kitchen with the shirt off. And then we had a family of eight that came in. And there's a certain pressure that comes from going through things like that. John Acuff said, "Your house, I'm gonna start calling your house La Quinta," because there was joy in it.
Yeah,
but how did you keep perspective, with pressure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and totally, perspective under pressure is something we all face. There is pressure in small ways, big ways, and what I've what I think, I mean, I felt like, you know, in the middle of that was there were days of pressure. There were also great days of joy. The days of joy outweighed the days of feeling a little bit of pressure. But it was just a future-focused perspective where I got above the pressure and thought, what is this going to do for my heart, for my kids' hearts, for this family that we got to invite into our home, for their hearts? What is this going to do? So it's a future-focused perspective where I get to see where I think of the benefits that are going to come on the other side of this pressure.
That's good. Yeah. One of the scriptures that you talk about, and I've heard you talk about, is the new mercies. You know, we talk about being made new, but the scripture talks about we have new mercies every single day. Mm-hmm. How does that change our perspective, like that God gives us new mercies every day?
Yeah, that scripture is, I wrote it down because I really love it and I want to get it right too. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And this mercy that it talks about is just God's loving kindness, his steadfast love, his goodness, his mercies that never cease, they never come to an end. It's just who he is and so much more. And the mercies are not new because I messed up and he's just like, hang on, wait till tomorrow. I'll give you some new mercies so you can clean that up. No, it's he gives us new mercies because he loves us that much. He loves us that much that he's like, okay, I'm going to give you new mercies because that's just who I am. And the mercies, they're not just new in the morning, they're new in the moment. And so we don't have to wait till tomorrow. I can wait till the next moment and new mercies are there for me to.
That's a good word. How many of us need new mercies in the moment? Can't wait till tomorrow. Anybody else? Yes. Some of you are pushing somebody else's hand up right there. Like, and God says, I give new mercies every day. My compassions, they don't fail. Mercies in the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
word. Yeah. What word would you give for, if you were just to talk to moms who are new moms? I see some moms in the rooms with little babies. What word of encouragement would you give to them?
It's a season, and it's a hard season, I know. It's not all hard, like living with the pressures. It's not all hard. There's so much joy, but I know it's a season. But I would say, truly, truly, savor the moments. Savor the moments of the hard, the fun, the easy, the joy. One phrase that when I can think back to when I had, you know, when my kids were little and it was a little bit more, well, now it's overwhelming in a way different way. But anyway, when it was overwhelming in a little kid sort of way, this phrase that just pushed me, it was sort of what I would sort of just tell myself, it was give 100% to what's right in front of you. And you know, that doesn't have to go for just moms dealing with little kids. That could be that can go for a lot of different situations. Give 100% to what God gives you right in front of you. So you don't feel the pressure to look here, there, and the other place. It's like, nope, I'm right here. Show me what you want me to do. I'm gonna give 100% to that. So if it's rocking the baby to sleep, give 100% to that. If it's, giving that talk at your job, give 100% to that. If it's teaching the kids in the classroom, give 100% to that. Whatever the Lord puts right in front of you in that moment, that's your perspective. That's where your eyes are focused, and you give 100% to that.
Right. Now let's speak to those moms, dads, whose kids are struggling. What word of encouragement would you give on perspective?
Yeah. Pray scripture. Pray scripture. Pray scripture. Pray scripture. Period. And that could go, again, friend to friend, grandmother to grandchild, aunt to nephew, mom to son, however, whatever it is. Pray. Find that scripture that speaks to that struggle. And put the friend, child, grandmother, whoever it is, put their name in that scripture and pray it. For one whole year, when Camden, and she's six, almost 17 now, but she struggled with anxiety in the later part of her elementary years. And the Lord just placed it on my heart to pray Psalm 139 over her every single day for one whole year. And she didn't even know it. She might have been sleeping. Sometimes she was at school. She was never sitting across the table from me. She knew I was praying for her. That's important. But It wasn't like, sit down, Kim, we're going to pray Psalm 139. Okay, bow your heads, let's go. It was just, I just did. And we just put her name in there and just prayed it. And the cool thing is today she could probably say word for word almost from memory that scripture. And in the moments now that anxiety tries to creep in, she can call to mind that truth. And in the moments when I try to take control of that situation or another situation, I can call to mind like, Lord, I didn't have to do anything. You did it all by the power of your word. And so that would be my encouragement. And maybe one day she'll get out her keyboard and write a song about it. All right. That's my hope.
That's a challenge, laying it down. Candace, you gonna close us out? Not today? All right. Would you close us out with a prayer? And then we're gonna sing that song, God, I Look to You. And look to him for perspective. Would you pray a prayer over us and over moms, over everyone about perspective? And
yes, I will. I'd love to. Oh God, who looks on us, we look to you. We look to you for wisdom. We look to you for understanding. We look to you for what is true and what is not. We look to you to see things how you see them. We look to you in gratitude. O God, who looks on us, we lift our eyes to the hills, to the maker of the hills, and we know you are our helper. You are where our help comes from. We look to you to help us exchange our human desires for your eternal desires, our self-protection for your supernatural protection, our earthly perspective for your heavenly perspective. O God, who looks on us, we look to you. And Lord, we give you these next few moments where we turn our eyes to you, Father, and we say, we look to you. Would you help us see things how you see them? We love you. We thank you. That's what you do for us. And we give you our worship. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ree. And I want to invite you to stand. We're going to sing out. Caleb, Casey, sing it out. We'll sing with you. We'll worship with you. Say, God, we look to you. Let's worship together, church.